We all get pumped up, just, you know, chit chatting.
We need to do like a, like, we need to have like, you know, when like a, like a, like a, like a basketball team or something. Like it was a like,
pep talk.
No, oh, yeah, I just yeah, be like,
whoa! Welcome back.
Welcome to the podcast, the Hell Money Podcast.
The Hell Money Podcast. Yes.
Today we have, they're always, I always say it's a very special episode every time.
It is always a very special.
Where it's special to be with you. In the Mr. Rogers kind of sense of things,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're talking about the Lightning Network and somehow that translates to all of these various craft supplies.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, the idea is to talk about the Lightning Network and also have some, like, props. And the idea behind the props is just to kind of give you an intuitive idea, some intuition for what, how things work and what's going on. The Lightning Network is really stretching the seams of what craft store Bitcoin is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Craft store Bitcoin is, you know, the greatest pedagogical technology in Bitcoin history, but it does have its limitations in terms of how complicated the things are that it can express.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to be testing those limits.
We're testing the limits on like maybe our most like mentally empty.
We are both kind of running on empty today. I didn't get very much sleep. Aaron is a little emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah, I told Casey this, like, I might cry during the episode.
Yeah, yeah, I might cry a little bit too.
But I have to edit that
out. If she cries, we don't have to edit it out. If I cry, it's cutting room
it's
floor.
It's gotta be removed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this episode goes.
Yeah.
I'm already, like, I feel like the last Craft Store Bitcoin episode, I was already very, like, I don't know about this, Casey. And now this is, like... We'll see.
We're very
passionate about the Lightning Network here.
Yeah, passionate.
You know,
you can always get a high, you know?
You told me I couldn't last time.
This one is not a lot of details to... You can get a high for this
it's
one.
It's fine. I'll go at it, you know, in my vulnerable state.
Yeah. But before, I mean, maybe best thing in our vulnerable state, let's pep ourselves up with some user feedback.
Okay.
I got some comments here from YouTube and from Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's just go through it. XN Mateo on YouTube says, Bitcoin is speculative garbage with obsolete technology, high fees, low transaction speed, fully traceable XD. That's like the RAR face, you know, XD.
Oh, fully traceable, like...
Yeah, fully traceable. Okay. Get up to date. The real king is Monero now. And he spelled Monero. They spelled Monero with a zero.
Well, that's because YouTube might censor it.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. They're so trying to get the word out. Yeah,
Monero.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
might be removed as like a spammer or something.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So thank you, XN Mateo, for the comment. Thanks for watching.
Is there any validity to that argument?
Well, not...
We weren't even hating it. I feel like you were pretty generous to Monero on that episode.
Yeah, no.
My guess is he probably didn't watch... Like, that was at, like, the end of, like, an hour and a half long episode that you talked about Monero. So
right.
my guess is that viewer did not watch the whole way through. But I feel like we weren't, like, that critical. You were kind of like, oh, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, right? No. Well, so some things he says are really not very valid. One is he's complaining about Bitcoin's high fees and low transaction speed. Monero has higher fees and slower transactions.
Projection.
Yeah. Fully traceable. I mean, obviously, Bitcoin has less on-chain privacy than Monero. But you know, we're going to talk about the Lightning Network, and Lightning Network is a giant mixnet that makes everything better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now onto Reddit. You Solomon Satoshi says, okay. Looks like moronic hopium, completely detached from reality.
That is true.
Thank you, Solomon Satoshi.
Yeah, I agree.
Appreciate
with that.
You Gunzu says thumbnail already does everything to prevent me from clicking that video. So thank you, Gunzu.
Yeah, it's good to get feedback on the thumbnail because you know, that's like your contribution to the podcast.
That's right, yeah.
I love the thumbnails though. I think they're so good.
Absolutely.
I don't really understand, like, I feel like at this point it's like I feel like complaining about clickbait thumbnail is like complaining about somebody saying like too much. It's like an outdated sort of...
Right. It's like, listen, we've had that conversation.
Yeah, we've had this conversation a million times. And at this point, we make these clickbait thumbnails because it's like high art.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I actually like them unironically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So get with it.
Yeah. You Handsome Hisoka said, how do they get three people to talk about this crap?
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah. Shunktar Donetsk says it's a hard no for me, thanks.
That's fine.
Yeah, you
it's
know.
It's all good.
I mean, I don't really want to know that he's hard, but that's fine. Yu Castro says, after the thumbnail, I don't know if I want to click the video.
Yeah.
That's fine. So, you know, it's not to everybody's taste.
So far, zero for two.
Yeah, the thumbnail. Zero for two on the thumbnail. Yeah, so as always, thank you to all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the feedback. Keep the comments coming our way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, do you think it's healthy for you to collect the feedback and read it?
No, I think it's, so I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. And I think that it's the best response to the haters. Like, they leave mean comments and we just read them.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, I don't even feel the need to comment on them. I think it's funny if you are like, you know, we do this show and then we go like, well, thanks, we got some feedback today. And it's like, you know, Bob on Reddit says, Casey looks like he has a small dick. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the feedback. Love to hear from you. And then we just move on.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's only to some certain extent. At some point, you can't let the haters win. They want attention, you know?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no.
So
I mean,
there's
I like turning it into a positive.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. And we're living rent-free in their head.
That's
you
true.
Know?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Just making a note.
On privacy.
Privacy. Yeah. Got to talk about that now.
Got to talk about privacy.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, address the hate. Mm-hmm. There's feedback. It's not necessarily hate.
Oh, that was hate. That was hate.
We love the fans too. All the positive. Shouldn't we acknowledge the positive comments then? If we're going to acknowledge the negative ones?
I don't know. I think it's funny. But yeah, I mean, we
then you just encourage hate because they're like, I want to get on the show.
But what I actually kind of hope is I hope that people start leaving hate comments that are like very witty, you know, like they put some effort into it.
That's true. That's actually a way to like reverse psychology the haters into like elevating their game
right.
a little bit, you know, like try being a little funny and maybe you'll make it on the show.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And then maybe, you know, if you really comment on something in the middle of the episode, mm-hmm. makes it clear that you watch the whole thing and you're not reacting to the thumbnail or the title, we're extra likely to read your comment.
So just
farming the haters for views.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah, for those sweet, sweet watch hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, love that. All right, so moving on,
Lightning Network.
Crafter Bitcoin Lightning Network.
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the Lightning Network, you know?
Okay.
Aaron, do you want to tell the people, like, what is the Lightning Network?
I don't know what the Lightning Network is, Casey, and it's too late for me to ask.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
The first question that Aaron has written down is, what is a smart contract, lol?
I wrote these notes like 30 minutes before, and I was just like, you know what? It's kind of an opportunity. I actually think, like, you know, sort of the ideal state for this podcast is for me to stay as like uneducated as possible to make the knowledge as digestible as possible.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is a smart contract? Lol. That's exactly what we're going for.
Exactly.
The Zoomers were like, what's a smart contract? Lol.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a smart contract is just a contract, very abstractly. It's a contract like between, you know, one or more people, two or more people, I guess, that has some sort of conditions, and it's enforced by a computer program.
Okay.
That's it. That's literally it.
How is it enforced by a computer program? Like, is the AI going to come, like...
No.
Put you in jail?
Well, no, because a contract is like, you know... In Bitcoin, we have these coins, right, that we talked about from Craft Store Bitcoin.
Right.
That your wallet is just a collection of coins. Each coin has a different amount of sats in it, satoshis.
Sure.
And then we have these keys that can lock and unlock coins. You can say like, okay, this key is locked with this coin. You need to provide this coin is locked with this key, and you need to provide a signature with that key to spend that coin.
Okay.
So what if I told you that actually that was a lie? Yeah.
Wow.
And the reality is that coins are locked with something called Bitcoin script.
Okay.
And Bitcoin script is a tiny programming language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the locking script, the script that locks up the coins that needs to be satisfied to spend the coin, can have extra conditions in it.
And that's the smart contract?
That's the smart contract. Yeah. And that in order to spend that coin, you have to satisfy those conditions. You have to create a transaction.
Oh, so it's enforced because like whatever transaction or whatever thing that you're trying to do has to... It has to abide by the rules of the smart contract for it to happen.
Yeah. If it, okay. if you don't,
that makes more sense. I was imagining enforcement, like in like a structural sort of like police state.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Like the police state. Yeah. The dictatorial enforcement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So no, not like that. It's just like, yeah, if you don't satisfy the smart contract, the terms of the smart contract, your transaction can't be broadcast. It won't be valid.
Structural enforcement rather than like punitive enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although there is a little punitive enforcement with Lightning Network, but it's on-chain punitive enforcement.
Mm.
So it's like you get punished if you deviate.
What's the punishment?
You just lose the coins in your payment channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not like a public lashing in the Plebnet town square.
No, on Telegram or something. No.
In a Bitcoin spaces on Twitter.
Exactly. No.
I'm sorry. I'm like really deranged this episode.
No, that's fine. Let's go. Maximum derangement.
So what's the Lightning Network?
Yeah. So the Lightning Network is based on this primitive called the payment channel.
Mm-hmm.
So you create these payment channels with people, and then you can make hops through multiple payment channels. So I have a payment channel with you. You have a payment channel with Bob. I can pay Bob through the payment channel I have with you, and then through the payment channel I have with Bob. So, yeah. And so it's like you can pay people without actually needing an on-chain Bitcoin transaction. Each payment channel takes a Bitcoin transaction to open and a Bitcoin transaction to close. But when you make a payment through a payment channel, you don't need an on-chain transaction at all.
So like if you wanted to like take out your Bitcoin and do something else with it, you'd have to like close the channel the actual like on-chain situation.
Yeah. Each channel is, you know, like our friend, the coins from the previous episode, or the outputs, kind of same thing. That's a payment channel. And so you create a transaction, broadcast it, gets mined.
That's open. Opens the Lightning Network channel.
Opens the Lightning Network channel. Yeah, exactly. And then that channel sits in the UTXO set, the sort of set of active coins, until you decide to close it. And then you create another transaction and you essentially divvy it up, which probably involves splitting the coins in the channel between you and your channel counterparty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it basically just like lessens the weight of like on-chain transactions, and that's why it makes it scalable.
That's right.
Does it like, I don't know, it seems too good to be true to me.
Oh, I mean,
what's the problem with it?
Yeah, it has downsides. Like you a Bitcoin payment, I can like send you my address in an email, and then you can pay me using that address without having to communicate with a computer that I'm running. So you just pay me offline. Like I send you the address and then you just broadcast the transaction.
It just is, the UTXO knows that that's the situation.
Yep.
Okay.
And whereas with the Lightning Network is sort of an active interactive protocol between nodes, computers, Lightning Network nodes run by two people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to pay you on the Lightning Network, my wallet has to talk to your wallet and make that.
So you have to be like on, like connected to the internet or whatever, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, for example.
Is that true for like a credit card transaction? Yes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So there's not, it really isn't, it's like similar to like a credit card transaction in terms of like feasibility of use.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also it's like normal Bitcoin transaction, non-Lightning Network transactions have this amazing thing that credit cards don't have, that you can just know somebody's like public key and send them the payment and they can get it later without them ever having to be online.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Are there actually, okay. Maybe this is getting too deep in before we've like really done like an overview, but like, are there Bitcoin purists who like don't like the network, don't like the Lightning Network?
Yeah, I would say yes. One category of people who doesn't like the Lightning Network are big blockers.
People, big blockers.
Yeah, big blockers. I mean, that kind of sounds cool.
Yeah.
But no, these are people who like in 2016, 2017, like wanted to...
Oh, the block size wars.
Just make the blocks bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And think that that is a better and less complicated solution than doing things like the Lightning Network.
Better and less complicated. So it's that it's keeping it all in like the layer one.
Exactly.
On-chain stuff is simpler.
Yeah, and they're just wrong. I mean, they're just trade-offs to doing it that way, and the trade-offs are unacceptable.
What is, like, are there people that are like, oh, the Lightning Network, like, bastardizes what Bitcoin's about? Like, is there any sort of, like, purist sort of argument? And is that, is that part?
I'd say that it's the same kind of people that think that, like, yeah, the Lightning Network is, like, too complicated. Mm. Let's just do transactions, and let's just do more transactions. Let's do the simple, basic Bitcoin thing And so I do think that that is like a purism kind of thing. Like there can be a purism thing. But if you look at the trade-offs involved, like if you wanted to do as many transactions on chain as the Lightning Network required, the block size would have to be huge. I mean, the block size would have to be like gigs, potentially gigs and gigs per block. And that would mean that nobody would be able to verify, far fewer people would be able to verify the entire chain. You wouldn't be able to run Bitcoin on a Raspberry Pi. You wouldn't be able to run Bitcoin on a home internet connection.
Right.
You would be, mining would be really out of reach for anybody who couldn't have a professional quality
setup.
There would be much more trust because it would be impossible to run a full node. Far fewer people would be able to run their own full node. Centralization because, you know, the fewer people, they can sort of start to collude and, you know, do that.
Right.
So the trade-offs are, I mean, I wish we could do everything with on-chain transactions. That'd be freaking sweet. But we can't. The trade-offs just suck.
I see. So you're pro Lightning Network.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, I'm like, we got to do scaling solutions like Lightning Network. And then the other thing is that because it doesn't do on-chain transactions, because the Lightning Network does a lot of off-chain transactions for every one on-chain transaction, the privacy gains are really substantial. I actually think that it's like, and the great thing is that it's a Trojan horse privacy technology. That we don't lead telling people about the Lightning Network as if it's a privacy technology. We say it's like a scaling solution. And then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, it's a giant mixed net where people are just like mixing their coins essentially. And it's very hard to tell, you know, what on-chain activity is from what actual payments are being made.
Yeah, I feel like with the privacy stuff, I'm sort of like undecided how I feel. Like, I don't know. I guess transparency is good in some cases and then also bad, I guess, if it could be like enforced against, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a tool, right? Like having that transparency or having that privacy. You're very pro privacy.
Yeah. And I like the, I do agree that transparency is useful sometimes. And I think that Bitcoin provides that, sort of provides that in the sense that the base layer, the L1, is very auditable and very transparent for good and for bad. Right. But focusing on the good for a second, you can make sure that there, the supply hasn't been inflated. You can kind of see what's going on chain. And then if, then there is this L2, this layer two, the Lightning Network, that does provide you with this very good privacy if you use it correctly.
So like a government, let's say like a government has their budget like in Bitcoin. Would the government use the Lightning Network or would the government use on-chain? Like, because I kind of think like, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a government that had to like show where all the money went, right? Like it was like this transparent like transaction situation, but like, could that be that, you know, the government just uses the Lightning Network and they like, you know, just have an open channel with some defense contractors and it's like no big deal. Like,
I don't know.
Like that, that's where I'm like the trade-off, like just thinking about like practically moving forward. Like, is it, I'm not sure personally how I feel. Like, is it better to have more transparency? Like pros and cons of either situation.
Well, I don't know.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. The government does what we can make them do. So, if we can make them use on-chain transactions, they can sort of use on-chain transactions for a lot because the payments are very large. You know, if they're giving somebody over, you know, if they, thousands of dollars, you know, sort of big budgetary things, that can all be on-chain. Practically speaking, we can't do these smaller transactions on-chain. We can't have every time somebody makes a payment, makes a payment to the DMV, you know, to get a, your car registration. We can't put that all on chain.
Or vice versa. Like the government paying you your stimulus check.
Example. Yeah.
The stimulus checks would have to go over the Lightning Network.
Stimmies over the Lightning Network. I love the stimmies. Like, oh, I got to get my stimmies.
Did you know we're getting another one?
Aren't we getting some terrible California
stimmy?
That's like
inflation stimulate, like an inflation offset stimulus check. It's like if you make less than $75,000 a year, you get like $350. If you make more, then you get $250. And it's going out right before the midterm elections.
Yeah.
Like it's not even going out now. It's like, we'll send it at the end of October.
These people need to just go in a padded room and then like you can't bother us.
Probably great acoustics for podcasting in that padded room, though. So
yeah, okay. Listen.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron was trying to get me to line the walls of my apartment with sound treatment material.
I think it looks nice.
Yeah, this is her argument. This is her claim, but I'm skeptical.
I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, someone would come over and they'd be like, oh my God, are you a podcaster?
Yeah, that's never going to happen. Both because, like, you know, come on. But then also because, like, well, the first thing that I tell everybody is that I'm a podcaster.
I have a Bitcoin podcast.
We average 100 to 200 views on YouTube. I mean, we have a few that are like 90. But, like, you know, we've broken that.
We got 300 on the one with CK, although I'm pretty sure we're about to fumble that with this episode.
Listen, confidence. Yeah. So what? So, yeah, the government would use a NYX. And it's certainly better than it is now, where most of what they do is totally non-transparent.
Right.
Right? You can't see anything.
But yeah. I'm just like, okay, could there be a world where the government does everything on the Lightning Network? And then it's like, okay, that's not a problem then, that's solved. But like,
what do you mean? The government, like, the government nominally does what the people tell them to do. Right. So if there's strong desire for transparency, then they'll use on-chain as much as possible.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's assuming like a functioning government.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, no, I mean, they could.
Like, I kind of like the idea that like Bitcoin layer one, there's this like transparency inherent to it, right? Like, I like that about it.
Well, so here's the problem with that is that a lot of the government, like the government doesn't necessarily have to move money around when it uses Bitcoin. Like, what if the Bitcoin just sat in giant channels, or sorry, just sat in giant UTXOs that was held by the government? And they just allocated it to different branches without actually moving it on chain.
Yeah, but if they want to pay a defense contractor, which is like mostly where I'm concerned about their money. Like, right. I'm not that worried about the government like spending stupid amounts on various government branches, even though I'm sure they do. So, I'm more worried about like kind of like the siphoning of taxpayer money from various like shadowy corporations, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, basically in that case, the Lightning Network is the same. If we have a non-functioning government that wants to hide things, then it just uses the Lightning Network. And then we're kind of pissing into the wind and being like, yeah, they got all these channels. And like over here on the network, these defense contractors have these channels and we don't know anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The US and McKinsey just have their little Lightning Network
relationship. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, no, the Lightning Network
fumbles the ball on the transparency.
Yeah, I mean, you want privacy, you know, your enemies are gonna have it too.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm kind of.
And also, you know what? You don't wanna pay your taxes. Like, okay, you're like, okay, we don't want them paying these defense contractors, right? Mm-hmm. If they didn't have any money to pay the defense contractors, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Oh, so you're just saying, get it at the source. Let's get rid of taxes.
Yeah. And well, then you have the Lightning Network. You can evade taxes because nobody can see, receive, and send money.
I see. Yeah. I mean, I guess like what... I feel like... I think I've said this before. For some reason, I like don't care that much about privacy. Like personally and sort of like I understand how it's useful and necessary like on like a structural level. But personally, I don't give a shit. Yeah. So like, I don't know. What's your reason for being so pro privacy?
It's very important systemically.
So yeah, it's structural.
Yeah, it's structural. Reasoning. It's that if nobody has privacy, like then the government can tax them more. Mm. And if people have privacy, the government can't tax them more. And then thus it can't take that money and waste it. So
it's like an evading the government sort of thing.
Well, yeah. And also it's that, you know, if nobody has privacy, then, you know, blackmail and stuff like that becomes more appealing, right? My level of privacy doesn't really matter. It's kind of the same. It's kind of similar to voting, right? If you vote, it doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But if everybody doesn't vote, then bad things happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm like personally like, yeah, not super concerned about my own privacy.
You kind of are. I don't know. You don't let me even look up QuickTime on your computer.
That's not about the same kind of privacy. Okay. Listen, don't dox my computer. Okay. So
I can't. I don't know. You know, it's totally private.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gigs and gigs of furry porn. So it's not gigs and gigs of furry porn. I think it's very systemically important. I agree. I'm not super concerned about attacks against myself or privacy, but I want everybody to have privacy as much as possible because I think that that is systemically important because that creates a better society with better incentives.
Yeah.
Right? You have to ask people for their information if you want to get it. The government is powerless. Like, it can't coerce people. Yeah. basically that.
Okay. So yeah, Lightning Network Trojan horse for privacy then.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Word. Oh, I was curious about like the history of the Lightning Network. Like, when did the Lightning Network become, was there sort of this like debate before the Lightning Network about like, uh-oh, it's not scalable, and then like coming up with possible options, and then the Lightning Network emerged?
Sure.
Or like what, and like, is it also like, is the Lightning Network like a company?
No.
It's just like a thing.
It's an open protocol that anybody can make transactions according to that protocol. And if you can make transactions according to that protocol and communicate with nodes according to the protocol, you're on the Lightning Network. So nobody can stop you. You can go into a room with a computer and, you know, from scratch, program in a Lightning Network client, reading the documentation, the publicly available documentation, and then you'll be on the Lightning Network.
Sure. Okay. That was, yeah, also sort of my question. Well, I guess we should start with Lightning Network history. And then I have, yeah, more questions about sort of like the infrastructure of the Lightning Network now.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually January 16 was when the Lightning Network paper was.
Okay. 2016.
Yeah. 2016. Yeah. So I that was kind of in the midst of the block size debate, if I remember correctly.
So it sounds like multiple sort of possible solutions were being proposed.
But I don't want you to get the sense that like, oh, like there was some sort of like that Lightning Network is the official scaling solution for Bitcoin.
Kind of seems like it though.
Well, no, it's very popular because it works very well. But it's not like somebody said like, it's not like somebody anointed the Lightning Network and says, this is going to be the scaling solution for Bitcoin.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like there was a lot of conversation, a lot of debate, different people implemented different things, and the implementations of the Lightning Network started to get further and further such that it became pretty clear that it was going to work, right? You have to implement things in order for people to use them. They won't, you can't just say like, hey, I have a great idea and like start politicking, right? You have to prove that it works by starting to implement it. And that's part of the success of the Lightning Network. There's multiple implementations. I think there's 4 or 5 implementations at this point of the Lightning Network by different people, different groups, different programming languages. And it's that success. And so it's been gathering more and more momentum. But there is no official deliberative body of Bitcoin that decides what the roadmap is, right? It's just what gets built and what gets adopted. Yeah. Yeah.
Word.
So yeah, so Joseph Kuhn and Thaddeus Dreija wrote this paper. It was like pretty well received. People started talking about it, experimenting with it. A company called Lightning Labs, I believe, wrote the first implementation, although I have a feeling that it's possible that there actually was another implementation. I don't remember if Joseph Kuhn or Thaddeus Dreija was specifically involved with any specific companies. Thaddeus Dreija is a researcher. Joseph Kuhn kind of fell off the map around 2018. He got more and more, it's like the Lightning Network seems to be the like last really concrete thing that he did. And then he got more and more into like Ethereum, like scaling, like being a scaling astronaut.
Yeah.
He did this thing with Plasma called Plasma Cash that was just so off the rails that I think that like he has that like tendency towards like really complicated stuff. But he did do the Lightning Network. He did do amazing
sometimes work. Sometimes you fly too close to the sun.
Exactly. Yeah. Icarus thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then there's multiple implementations. There's been more and more implementations. The main implementations of Lightning are LND by Lightning Labs, Core Lightning by Blockstream, Async, Eclair by a company called Async, I believe. That's actually the one that I use the most because it powers a wallet called Phoenix Wallet, which is a great mobile non-custodial wallet. And then there is Rust Lightning, which is a sort of low-level Lightning toolkit. And maybe one more.
What does like Cash App use?
I'm guessing they use LND and Prod. That's what I'm guessing. Because Cash App, when you use the Cash App app, your app isn't making and receiving Lightning payments. It's telling a server in their data center to make and receive Lightning payments.
Okay, so Cash App. So like if you're sending Bitcoin on Cash App, it's not that you have your own address. It's like Cash App has all their Bitcoin and like some of it is like labeled that it's yours in their system.
That's right.
And then they're like, okay, then we'll send it over here.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Okay. That's also, I guess that kind of gets into my question about sort of like the current Lightning Network infrastructure. Like, so let's say I want to use like Cash App as my Lightning Network wallet. is it the type of thing where I can't send on the Lightning Network to something outside of Cash App? Like right now, okay, like Venmo, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. or Cash App, I guess, like also works this way. But like, you know, if I wanted to like send someone money over Venmo, I have to send it to their Venmo app.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So is that the same? Like, is the Lightning Network, that's sort of, I guess, what I was getting at with my question about like, if the Lightning Network is like a company, like, or an entity that is like sort of its right. own thing, mm-hmm. or like how that sort of crossover works between like companies where right. you have a wallet mm-hmm. or you like send stuff around, mm-hmm. or if actually everyone will have their own personal connection to the Lightning Network. You right. know what I mean? Like, what, how does that actually like work out?
Yeah.
You think?
So the technology that people are most familiar with that the Lightning Network is probably like email.
Okay.
So anybody can run an email server, and mm-hmm. if they can send correctly formatted emails like over the internet, they can send email to anybody.
Yeah.
If you have an AOL email address, I can send email to you even though I have a Gmail address.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an interoperable standard. And so, yeah, right now, you know, I have Phoenix, which is a self-custody wallet where the keys are on my phone. The Lightning Network node is on my phone. You could have, for example, Cash App. And I could pay you from Phoenix to your Cash App using Lightning payments. So it can cross company boundaries.
And that would be Cash App to your personal Lightning node,
That's
it
right.
sounds like.
That's right.
So some companies would potentially have like a more centralized, like you just have an account with this company
uh-huh.
and they
yeah.
have their Lightning
yeah.
network
and,
node.
Yeah.
And then some might be more, you know, closer to like self-custody.
Right.
Right. Or
yeah.
sounds like self-custody.
Self-custody, for
okay.
sure. Yeah. Total self-custody. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, I'm processing this.
Okay, yeah, 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 yeah. It's really good. Anybody who can read the docs can get on the network. And it's one network. It's not a fragmented network.
So Phoenix Wallet, did they have record of... I guess I'm trying to also sort of like mm-hmm. like figure this out in relation to like the privacy argument.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, does Phoenix Wallet have information about where you send stuff?
No, they don't. I mean, that runs on my phone. The Lightning Network is encrypted, so you can't see the payments that go across it or know mm-hmm. much about them. They can see the amounts that I'm sending, but they don't know the destination that I'm sending to.
Okay.
So they know very little. They know very little.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's always this, like, I don't know, question of trade-offs between... I've been thinking in general just about, like, kind of the trade-offs of, like, self-custody versus, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, not having, like, that level of, like... personal control and having like a little bit more outsourced, which I think mm-hmm. most people want, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually want the responsibility of something
yep.
like self-custody. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know the trade-offs of those things and like where those lie. And I guess I wasn't sure for like the Lightning Network, how that, it sounds like it's pretty similar to just on-chain in terms of transit, like
yeah,
the trade-offs that you make.
Yeah. I mean, you're a Lightning Network, you know, a full Lightning Network node is basically like a Bitcoin wallet, but it makes these weird transactions that
mm-hmm.
are payment channels.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of the same basic trust model, same basic custody model, plus, you know, some wrinkles particular to the Lightning Network.
Okay. Yeah. Word. Let's see. Yeah. I think I pretty much got through my questions. Does that mean we're going to craft store Bitcoin?
Yeah. That means we're going to craft store Bitcoin. Let's go.
For anyone listening on audio, good luck.
GLHF, good luck, have fun. We're sorry. Maybe I'll just try to narrate.
Yeah, we,
this,
I
what's
we can narrate
on.
For sure. This is, you know, it's a labor of love for Casey. It's very important to him. So, you know.
Try to distance yourself from the craft store Bitcoin. No, we need to prevent a unified front.
Yeah.
Nobody podcast loves craft store Bitcoin.
We love craft store Bitcoin here.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So should we move the camera?
Yep. Let's
all
do
right.
it.
Okay. So we moved the camera. So now you're getting a bird's eye view of all the craft supplies.
Yep.
You may recognize some stuff from last time's
yep.
craft
yep.
store Bitcoin.
Yep. Yep. Let me get everything in place.
Going from L1 to L2.
Yep. So I'm going to get the cats this time. You get the hearts. Or do you
yeah,
want...
Yeah, no. That's how we did it last time.
And then we have those. Okay. And this is not needed.
Do you need this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Very important. Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Okay. So what are we trying to explain here?
Yeah, we're trying...
What's the overview of... the demonstration that's
yeah.
about to happen.
The overview of the demonstration is just to get an intuition for how the Lightning Network works.
Okay.
So we're just
pretty much like what we did with the first one, where we're just doing transactions on chain.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're doing transactions over the Lightning Network.
That's right. Yeah. And so we're going to show channel open.
Okay.
Making a payment across multiple channels.
Okay.
And channel closing.
Okay.
And we sort of have some of the same usual suspects. Mm-hmm. These are transaction outputs, right, or coins, as I often call them. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin just keeps track of a big pile of these transaction outputs. And payment channels are UTXOs, are outputs, are coins. Do you like the coin terminology or the
output? I feel like output might make more sense, like, in this situation, right? Because, like, I guess I feel like if you're opening a channel, I don't think of that as being like a physical, like, coin.
Right.
And, like, an output makes more sense.
So they're, okay, so let's stick with that. They're transaction outputs.
Okay.
And then these are the transactions.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, let's just go for it.
Let's just fucking go for it.
Yeah. So I'll sort of just do all this stuff and really ask as many questions as you need.
Okay.
So first, we're both running Lightning nodes. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to collaboratively open a Lightning Network channel.
Okay. So like, you're the person running the coffee shop and I am the coffee consumer.
Sure. Yeah. Right? I'm the cafe. Mm-hmm. You are the coffee drinker.
Yes.
So we're going to create this transaction, and let's give it a nice round number of sats. Let's say that it's going to be 10 sats.
Okay.
So we're
going to... In the future, that'll be generational wealth, Casey.
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to do something a little special here. We're actually going to represent the sats with these beads. And I just realized 5 sats is a lot.
Okay, so...
So 10 sats is a lot, so we're going to use 5 sats.
Okay, 5 sats.
Yeah.
So a coffee is 5 sats in this situation?
Well, we want to make a few payments, so maybe a coffee should just be 1 sat.
A coffee is 1 sat.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah. So this
After hyper-Bitcoinization,
yeah. Okay, so we'll get to what this little line means, but this is like the output I'm
Okay, so we've got 5 sats on for, you know, the audio, for anyone who's really trying to understand the audio or narration.
Yeah.
We've got an output... in the UTXO.
Yep.
That has 5 sats on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's opening our channel.
Yep.
So when I open a channel, if I have an open Lightning Network channel, can I only ever send the number of like sats that was in that initial transaction?
That's right, yeah. But let's not get like crazy here,
okay,
because this is really a multi-step process. Like this channel isn't even open yet.
Okay, sorry.
We need to create this transaction.
All right.
And it's worth 5 sats.
Okay.
Right.
Is there a symbol for sats, or is it just sats?
No, I mean,
you gotta come up with something.
Well, once the sat is, each sat is worth $1. We'll just use the dollar symbol.
Yeah, just take the dollar.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll like
reclaim,
fuck you, dollar.
Reclaim the dollar sign.
And then we have like some input that I'm spending. You know, like you know, I don't know. We don't really need to represent it, but like the some input, right? And then we're opening this transaction, but let's say I control the input. So I'm like doing the funding of this transaction.
Okay.
So this input X, I guess we have to do this like, do this input X, and it's worth 5 sats.
Mm-hmm.
And it has one of my keys on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing this funding transaction. Actually, wait, I think I'm the coffee shop.
I'm the
coffee shop.
No, you're the coffee consumer.
I'm the coffee consumer. You're the coffee shop. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Or you can have the cat sticker.
No, it's fine. Okay. I think I have like more of like a customer satisfaction sensibility. You know,
I used to work in customer service. People said I gave great customer service.
Okay. Wonder what kind.
Movie theater.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so this is my output. This is my funding output.
Okay.
And I am going to create this transaction
that
spends this output, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we broadcast this transaction is broadcast. This gets removed from the mempool. This gets added to the mempool. We'll put Y on this. This is like payment channel Y.
Mm-hmm.
And this payment channel gets created. And instead of having like a cat sticker or a heart sticker to represent a private key, it has this little envelope with a piece of paper in it that says save the date.
Right.
And this represents a little snippet of Bitcoin script.
Mm-hmm.
And this snippet is like kind of special. The script we could sort of represent it here.
The Y script.
Yeah, the Y script.
Yeah, okay.
It has like these like rules for how the channel should operate.
So that's the smart contract.
That's the smart contract, okay. Yeah. And actually in
so
those...
So the save the date is a smart contract?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It is a smart contract, yeah. Okay. And it has like one of my keys in here, like it knows about my key.
And then does it need one of mine too?
Yeah, it needs one of yours, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we agreed on this.
Yeah. And the first thing, the first like clause in the smart contract is if both keys sign... Then, okay.
Then okay.
Yeah. And these are the two keys.
Okay.
Yours and mine.
Right.
Right? Because we are the joint owners of this this smart contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry for reusing this shape for transactions and scripts.
Yeah, you're really confusing the viewers
here. I'm just going to fold these edges to make it clear that this is a script, not
a
transaction.
Yeah, they were totally following completely
until that moment, yeah.
That just really...
Yeah. So yeah, so now we have a open payment channel.
Okay.
And I go to the cafe and I say like, hey, like I want a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much is the coffee?
One sat.
One sat. Okay, so then our Lightning nodes... Like what's going to happen is I'm going to go to the cash to the you know point of sale terminal, and you're going to present me with a Lightning Network invoice, and I'm going to scan the invoice, and then our Lightning nodes behind the scene are going to do this negotiation, and essentially what they're going to do is they're going to create this transaction. Let's call this TX Y1, and
that's for the first coffee.
Yeah, that's for the first coffee.
Right.
And so it's going to go, okay, the input is input Y. God, I'm so bad at writing things. Input Y. And then we're going to have one sat going to you. Can I have a sticker?
Of course.
So it says, okay, create one output containing one sat.
That's now mine.
No. It's not yours yet.
Okay.
So
we haven't closed our channel.
Yeah. Yep. And then four sats going to me. Rapidly running out of cat stickers here.
Uh-oh.
Yep. And then I can actually harvest one from that maybe. we actually both sign it.
Okay. So stamp?
Yep. Stamp.
So this is like one transaction within our open node on the Lightning Network.
Yep.
One coffee purchase. In a long and healthy relationship of many coffee purchases.
That's right. Yeah. And this is sort of the basics. And then here's the thing. We don't broadcast it.
Okay.
Because that would close the channel.
Right.
So basically we both get a copy and I guess we'll, I don't know where we should put this, but I guess I'll hold on to it like here, but we both have a coffee and then conceptually now you have one more sat on your side of the payment channel.
Right.
And we don't broadcast this, so we can keep using it. The payment channel remains open.
Right. So like this, which is happening on chain, will not close unless this is satisfied, which is dependent on all the rest of these things.
And this script says if both keys sign, then it's okay. And we have these two signatures here.
Right. Okay. Yep. So I guess... I'm wondering like, okay, let's say you go to a coffee shop in a foreign country and you're like, I'm just going to go one time to this coffee shop. Like, I'm not going back here.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Is that still going to be done over the Lightning Network?
Good question. Yes, it will. we've sort of talked about how we can like make a payment across one channel. But now here's the thing. You can make payments across multiple channels.
Okay.
So let's say you're the cafe. You're okay. My local cafe.
Yes.
And let's say you happen to have a channel with a big, with another cafe in another country. But actually, in reality, that's sort of a bad example. Let's say you have a cafe with like a big payment provider.
I'm Starbucks.
Let's say that you have a payment.
Use Square?
No. Let's say that, River just happens to be one of my favorite Bitcoin exchange. Let's say you have a channel open with River.
Okay.
Because you're like a River customer, you want to be connected to their like Lightning node. So XYZ. So that means that you have a payment channel, like let's say here. It's a little confusing. It's kind of on your side of the table with River, who's the microphone. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like right. River is okay. the microphone.
Yep.
And then
me and River.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you have sats in this payment channel with River.
Okay.
Let's say that you have like 3 sats on your side.
All right.
And then 2 sats on the River side.
Okay. So we've got our business dealings going on. You and I got our business dealings going on.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. Well, not really business dealings because these aren't really relationships. It's really just like a connection to the internet. It's like a connection to the Lightning Network.
Okay.
You don't necessarily have like direct dealings with everybody. Like your computer uses your ISP to get to the internet. It's mm-hmm. like not like you have like internet dealings. It's just how sure. you, it's your on-ramp.
Yeah.
So you're like, I want to be well connected because I want to be able to pay a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I want to connect my Lightning Network node to River's Lightning Network node okay. because I know they're well connected.
Sure.
Okay. So now I go to Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mentioned because I had a really great Uzbek meal last night. It was insane. It was so good. Wow. Halal Dazarkan in San Francisco
Shout
or something.
Out.
It was insanely good. It was ridiculous.
Sponsored.
Yeah. 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 Sponsored the pod. I wish. And I go to Uzbekistan and I want to buy some tea.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So here's how it works. I go, hey, Aaron, I'm going to pay you 1 sat. If you send this sat over the network in the way that I tell you to.
Okay.
And so then I push and the way that I sort of give you this encrypted blob. And if you send it over the network, it's going to get to the Uzbek tea house.
Mm-hmm.
So we do this and I push my little sat over here. And then you push your little sat on this channel out to the River side.
Mm-hmm.
And then indirectly,
River has a connection to this cafe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Uzbekistan.
Or has a connection to somebody who has a connection to the cafe.
So it's sort of like a degrees of separation type of situation.
That's right.
Where yeah. you kind of... So how does that actually happen? Like, is there some sort of program that optimizes for like, oh, well, we can actually send it through these channel so you don't have to open a new channel.
That's right. Yeah, that's what your Lightning Network does. Okay. Your Lightning Network is like looking at the network and it's seeing like what channels are open and then trying to figure out, okay, I want to pay this person here
mm-hmm.
and I can see I have all these different options for payment channels that I could use, different routes. And then it picks one, tries to pick the shortest route with the lowest fees. That's the most reliable.
That's pretty cute. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty awesome.
So can you know where it moves around to? Or no, is it totally like,
yeah,
just,
so it kind of looks like this, like I, my node goes like Casey's node route plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like, oh, okay, I'm going to go 1 to Cafe Aaron. And then 2, I'm going to River Financial. And then let's say that there's like, Uzbek Financial, River has some connection to some big node in Uzbek.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4, then it's connected to T's R Uzbek.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So that's like the, you know, yeah. web of connections.
Yeah, that's the web of connection. Yeah. So sure. I make this and then it's kind of interesting, but I put it into this encrypted form
mm-hmm.
where you can, all you can do is you can, it's called an onion. All you can do is you get this onion and it has these layers and each layer is protected by an encryption key.
Is that a Shrek reference?
No, no. No,
kinda sounds like one.
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
For the Zoomers to get the Lightning Network, we need to lean into the Shrek references.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, but no, you have this onion, and you're able to peel off one layer and get this one instruction. And essentially, you're able to peel off the layer that has the next hop.
So I, as Aaron Cafe Aaron, would know that your payment is going to River Financial.
That's right, but you wouldn't be able to peel off more layers of the onion.
Right.
And so you'd hand it to them. And then, like, they would go, like, ah, let me peel off the next layer of this onion. Okay, I know this is coming from Cafe Aaron, but I don't know who it's coming from.
Right.
And I know it's going to Uzbek Financial, but I don't know if that's the final hop or if it's going one more hop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pass it to Uzbek Financial. Uzbek Financial says the same thing. They go, ah, okay, this is from River Financial, but we don't know if it's the origin or not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if River is actually making this payment or they're making it on behalf of somebody else.
Sure.
In this case, they are. And they go, okay, it's going to Tizar Uzbek. and they don't know if Tizar Uzbek is the final hop, but they pass it on. And then Tizar Uzbek is finally able to go like, this is a payment like to me.
Right.
Yep.
So then let's say, you know, Cafe Aaron is like, I want to take out my money and do something mm-hmm. else entirely with it. I want to sure. buy a house or I want to, I don't know, do something big.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah.
Like closing a channel. Should right. we do that?
Sure. Yeah. 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 So basically we had this one channel, which was like this like intermediate transaction, which we didn't broadcast.
Right.
So now we have to update it again. Right. When mm-hmm. when we made the second transaction, we would have updated it. Mm-hmm. So we have TXY2, and the input is still Y. And now we have two outputs. So two sats and three sats to reflect the new balance of this payment channel. Mm-hmm. And then we each contribute a key. Oh, can't harvest the cat sticker. and then this is mine. I get three sats.
Yeah, you get three.
And you get
two.
Two? Yep. And our nodes are going to sign this transaction together.
Okay.
Cool. So now this transaction is broadcast. This transaction didn't get broadcast, this first intermediate transaction, but this first transaction gets broadcast. Mm-hmm. We put it into the little broadcast pile. It satisfies the script. And then we're able to go like, okay, now we're going to create, we don't actually have enough outputs. Let's reuse them. So we go, okay, well, we're going to create new outputs and there's going to be a two sat output with a little heart on it.
Right.
And a three sat output with a cat. And there we go.
And now that's both ours.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And these
we no longer have a lightning node.
No longer have channel. Lightning channel. Yep.
Sad.
Kind of sad.
It
yeah.
is kind of sad.
Yeah. And these are just normal. Now these are, again, these are normal Bitcoin outputs, mm-hmm. Transaction outputs, and they can be used for whatever else. We could open a channel with somebody else, etc.
Right. Wow. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've gone through waves of being skeptical and accepting of the Lightning Network throughout this uh-huh. episode.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling more accepting of it now.
Okay, excellent.
Like, I'm like, I get this. It's kind of interesting and weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But also
yeah.
kind of fun. It's kind of cute how connected it is.
Absolutely, you yeah, know? Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like a network.
Yeah.
As opposed to like sovereign individuals.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you do, you're sort of protected from theft from your counterparty mm-hmm. on the Lightning Network, the people you open channels with. Like, they can't rob you.
Right. They can't close the channel and leave with all of
right,
the sats.
Right. But you do actually really want to find good channel counterparties.
Right.
Right. You want them to keep the channel open. You want them to keep their node up so that it's always available. Right. Yeah. If the node isn't up, you have to force close the channel, which is something we kind of got into. Mm-hmm. That you do get all your money out, but it takes some time. So it's better to not have to do it.
Right.
So yeah, you do want good nodes to partner with. Mm-hmm. And actually there's a great community on Telegram called PlebNet that our friend D++ set up, mm-hmm. Which is like, you know, a bunch of people running Lightning nodes for various degrees of like fun and professionalism and all talking to each other and being like, oh, I'll open channels with you. Like, how are you making money? Like, you know, what's working? Like, how do I make my node better? It's a great community. Whenever I have a practical Lightning Network question, I pop in there and I ask it, and somebody answers literally in 10 seconds.
Aww.
Literally, like no matter how complicated it is, like no matter what, like night and day, somebody's like, "I got you, bro. Like, do this." And it's like, it's very cool. It's a very cool, like, positive.
That's very cute.
Space.
Shout out PlebNet.
Yeah, shout out PlebNet. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, sponsor of the pod.
Did PlebNet sponsor yeah. us?
No, they did not.
Great. Okay. Is there anything else you want to go over?
We kind of went over everything. The kind of the tricky parts of the Lightning Network are like, how do you make sure that, you know, for example, that like I push one sat onto the channel onto our channel. How do I make sure that you have to push a sat onto the other channel?
Right.
Yeah.
And like that's, if you're sending through me.
Yeah, yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. Yeah. And let's just do it. Cause I actually got this this little prop for it.
Yeah, you got to use the fun props.
Yeah, got to use the fun prop.
You could switch. You could become Star Sticker if you wanted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I guess I'll use these for like channels now because we're just out of... We're out of the K crowns. Okay. That's the deal.
We've gone too crazy on the on-chain transactions.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this is like our channel.
Okay. This is our Lightning Network channel.
That's right. Yeah. And then this is
on-chain.
On-chain. Yeah. And then this is your channel with River.
Right. The microphone.
The microphone. Yeah. And then you have these sats in your channel. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is actually going to be really good because this is complicated, but I think it actually makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say I'm making a payment deposit to River.
Okay.
I go to river.com and then I go, hey, I want to deposit 5 sats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. River.com generates this invoice essentially, and they also generate a secret that nobody else knows. And then let's say this is the secret. This is River's secret. It's a 256-bit number.
Okay.
That nobody knows.
Okay.
Okay. So basically what I say is I say, hey, if you can give me River's secret, I'll pay you 5 sats.
Okay.
And River says to you, I'll give you the secret if you pay me 5 sats.
Okay.
So you pay River 5 sats. And then
so
you get the
5 sats are now to River.
And then you get the secret.
And I get the secret.
Yep. And then you give it to me.
And then I'm like, here, I'll give you the secret.
Yeah.
For 5 sats.
Yep. And then I push the funds.
So now we're just sort of moving our sats around.
That's right. Yeah. Mm. So the secret, actually, like the secret, which is called the payment pre-image in like nerd speak, and there's like hashes involved to make this work, it travels backwards. The other direction is the funds on the route.
It's like a game of telephone.
Yeah, it's like a game of telephone. And you pass this chit backwards, and at each stage it proves that you've made the payment to the next hop. So when I get it, I go like, yeah, I can see this came from River, this came from River, so I'm comfortable pushing my 5 sats over to you. Yeah.
Cool.
And it's kind of cool. It's like it goes the opposite direction as the beads. It just goes like brrr. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I got this entire thing of beads for this one. To use
this one
moment. Lozenge. Yeah, I should have got some like Werther's Originals or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could
it's
eat them at
pretty.
Least. Yeah.
I do like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's like other things that are really complicated about like, well, how do you make sure that like one thing that Lightning Network has to deal with is like, let's say that we were at this state where we had this payment channel open,
mm-hmm.
right? But let's say we had made this transaction, but we hadn't broadcast either of them. Like this is like the new state of the channel. What prevents me from going back in time and broadcasting this to the network? Because it leaves me a better off. See, I get 4 sats if I can broadcast this, but 3 sats if we broadcast that.
I don't know.
Yeah. So then there's like this math magic that we collaboratively invalidate these transactions as we go.
I see.
Essentially.
I see.
Yeah. And that's necessary to keep it secure. So if I try to broadcast an old state... And like you can see that it's like invalid and you can take all the funds so that you get all 5 sats. If I try to broadcast this,
cool.
I get nothing.
That's the punishment.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the punishment. Yeah. Huh. So each time we invalidate the old transactions. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lightning Network is fun.
It is fun. It's really fun. Yeah. It's actually like doing this makes me convinced that it's more fun because I'm like, yeah, actually like when you have props, these things aren't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm like, if I'm at a bar with you and I'm talking like just a maniac and I go, okay, so there's a payment pre-image and then that gets passed backwards along the route. Like you have no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When we go like, yeah, no, they're just passing the lozenge in the opposite direction of the funds. And then, you know, every time you see the lozenge, you know that every payment along the route in front of that has been made. So you make your payment on the route and pass the lozenge to the person behind you.
It's like when you watch like a video of some biology process happening in the cell and it's like all the parts of the cell,
right.
like little
yeah.
cartoon
yeah.
characters
yeah,
and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
wow,
yeah.
that really is how it is inside of me.
That's
huh?
right. It do be like that sometimes.
It do be like that.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pro craft store Bitcoin.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Awesome. Yeah.
Have we got through everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we did it. My spirits are much higher now at the end
oh,
of this
me
episode.
Too.
I
me
feel
too.
Energized
yeah.
and
yeah.
ready to take on the world. Maybe you can help me set up a Lightning wallet after this.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
yeah.
let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Yeah, thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks for watching. Like, subscribe, like, review. Subscribe, leave review. A nasty comment. It should be really funny, thoughtful, though. Thoughtful.
Funny.
Hate comment. Hate comment, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's your homework for mm-hmm. this week, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
See y'all later.